We're holding on Skulls Armored Base, about 15 lines from the bottom, by the Hutuma.
About 15 lines of the bottom?
About the by the Hutuma Mount Hill.
Yeah.
Sigmar has been talking about the question of if the Kohen did Kiddush Adayim Red Line and then went out of the Azorah, what happens is he needs him in the Kaddish again, and we learned that if he goes out to go to the bathroom, he definitely needs to be Mekaddish again, but if he just goes out Sam, then there's a question.
Every time he goes to the bathroom, it's a Sefer Santas.
Yes. Because the Gemara had explained that it's one thing you could say, for example, you could say, so you can say he's able to come back in any moment he wants. Therefore, you can say there's no Hesach Hadas. But if he went to the bathroom, there's no question he can't come back in while he's doing it. So that would be reason to consider that it wasn't.
Is in halacha, is it that way also?
So as far as Netilas Yadayim, it's similar. If you wash Netilas Yadayim for bread, and then you went to the bathroom.
But it's all Netilas Yadayim because the Lord, you put on talis, you can go out.
You have to keep in mind, a talis, in theory, you could wear a talis in the bathroom. It's not a double shin of yush. LMI, you know, we're known not to, because we use it specifically for davening, so it's not really the same thing. One interesting thing, by the way, comparing between the Tilas Adayim and also actually comparing with Negovasu in the morning versus Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So you have there's a Sikha in Chelech on Aleph, I think, where the Rebbe talks about the theory of Rambam Sikha, where the Rambam explains that a person has to wash his hands and feet every day before davening, and the David says feet, where do you get that from? And then you have the Alter Rebbe brings that a person has to wash his hands, but the Rambam also mentions he has to wash his face. And then they talk about, because there's a Gemara that says elsewhere, really, it's on point of Yodav Raglav, before you and before Koinoi, and so the Mephot Nosi Kalem on the Rambam explained that he takes that to be referring to before Davin, because that's the wash point of Yodav Raglav, and here you have the Alter Rebbe focuses only on the Tilas Yadayim, and not so much upon him, you have to wash your face, but it's not strictly speaking before davening, and then you have the feet of the fowl, from where does it come? So the Rebbe has a whole sifra about the deeper idea behind it, that the hands and feet represent avodah of a poil, so you have to wash those, you have to prepare those before davening, and at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, they didn't need to do their ponim, because the pneumius of a person was more attuned to Allah, of course, anyhow, whereas now in times of Golus, we do need that, but a whole sifra where the Rebbe analyzes the different possibilities over there of what has to be washed.
Where do you stress ponim, or
where do you stress ponim versus where do you stress your dying and aglaim? So the Gemara had been discussing this question of if he goes out, is that enough for... So Rashi learns that the problem is not so much Hesach Hadas. Rashi learns in the earlier piece of Gemara that the potential problem with him going out is the same way anything that was in a Kli Shoris goes out of the Azorah, it becomes possum. You put dam in a Kli Shoris, you put a mincha in a Kli Shoris, you take it out of the Azorah, it becomes possum. So maybe it's the same thing with the hands that were washed from a Kli Shoris. So Saka argues and says the issue is Hesach Hadas. So now the Gemara says, would Tuma cause him that he has to pass the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim? And now he has to do it again. Now you could say, you could say that maybe going out in and of itself does not pass him the Gavra Chazi, because the person is still suitable to do the Avodah. Aval Hocha the Gavra Lechazi, but here because he's Tomei, then at this point the Gemara assumes that when we talk about Tuma, we assume that we're talking about just Tuma of his hands. Which we know, Jirabana and a person's hands can become Tomei by themselves. So at this point, the Gemara assumes that's what we're talking about. So the Gavra Chazi, so when he just went out without anything becoming Tomei, he is suitable to come back in and do the Avodah. Aval Chacha the Gavra Lechazi, but here he's far not suitable because at least his hands are Tomei. Asuchi Masach Daite, so you could argue, therefore, that he's Masiach Das, and therefore he needs another Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. Ojuma Kivin Dahodah Chazi, or maybe since he's going to be very soon able to do the avoda, all he has to do is tovel his hands to get the trauma off them, and then he'll be able to do the avoda. Doc Lace, and maybe to begin with, he's careful, he's medayet, voloi masach daite, so he's not otherwise masiach daos. He knows that he touched food that made his hands tome, noiser, figgle, for example, so now he knows he's going to have to tovel his hands, but other than that, he's careful to not allow them to become tome with anything else. So maybe it's not considered.
When he touches noiser,
if a person has to become. There's no such thing as only hands. hands become a tumah. A person touches anything that's a tumah, that's an av tumah daraisa, then his whole body becomes tumah. But there are certain things that rabbanon where a person's hands alone can become tumah. But yeah. People on those two are two examples of them. You also have, for example, mashkin tzmeim. Sometimes they're able to make a person's hands tummy. The whole concept that we have of washing our hands from bread is based on that concept. Yeah, yadayim shnei yadayim. Sam yadayim astoni is saying, and therefore the shnei is saying in the Torah. Yeah. So maybe, but he's not a Masiyah Das because he knows that he needs to according to Rashi, we would say earlier when it was talking about him going out, then the question is not so much Chesach Hadas, the question is whether B'chal that becomes completely possible by taking it out of the Azara. One of Tosfos' objections is that the continuation of the Gemara seems to imply that it's more because of Chesach Hadas. So the answer is Toshma. Well, let's prove from a Braisa. We said before, Kiddush Yad V'Raglav, he did Kiddush Adam V'Raglav, V'Nithmu, and then they became Tomei, Makbilon, and all he needs to do is pray for them. The Ein Sarif L'Kaddish, he doesn't need to be Makaddish then. Well, there we go. But the Gemara says that's not a proof. Nithmu Yadav, like from a Boyeron, because the whole question to begin with was not if his hands become Tomei. Yeah, there it's easy enough to say that if it's only his hands became Tomei, then he's taken out Masriyach Das, and they don't become fossil, and all he needs to do is pray for them. The question is if his whole goof became Tomei, whether he needs Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim. What's his name? Called goof, right? Triple play. Anyway, never mind that. Anyway, head of Shemesh, he's anyway going to need head of Shemesh. He's going to tovel. It's now in the middle of the day. He's going to tovel. He's anyway going to be possible to do the Avodah until the evening. So, of course, he's going to see a das in that large amount of time. And the answer is, given the time is some of the Shkia Sakhama. Fine, let's say he became Tommy right before Shkia. So all he has to do, he has a very short time before Head of Shemesh will take place. In fact, you have Mishal Shakhfenim, Mishmanasim, Lachal, but Shumasan is by Tzeset Kafabim. And in fact, the Kohenim would regularly tovel, you find in the Gemara and Travis, they would regularly tovel at that time, as close as possible to Shkia, so that then Head of Shemesh is shortly afterwards.
But doesn't he have to do, like, Trebe,
So point of Rebbe.
Balailo,
he doesn't need the Kaddish. The question is whether he needs to be the Kaddish the next morning by Lashi Shaka. Is Lina Postal? That's a different question. But he was saying he became Tomei. He waits till late in the day. He became Tomei shortly before with the Tomador Isa, shortly before Shkia. He's going to go to the mikveh, and then he's going to have Head of Shemesh right away, so maybe he doesn't need to do Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim again. So no proof yet. So the Moses fine, Toshma, let's bring a proof, again, from a braisa we said before, Parah, when it comes to the Kohen who's doing the Parah Adama, when and where does he do Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim? Rav Chiya b'Rav Yosef Amar Mekadesh b'Klitshores b'Fnim b'Yotze. Rav Chiya b'Rav Yosef says he has to do Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim, as usual, inside the Azara, and then he goes out to the Haram, to Harazim, before the Gemara had tried to use that as a proof that going out of the Azara doesn't pass the Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim. The Gemara had shot that down, though, because the difference is that, listen, Kol Maaseh Bachutz, everything of the Parah Adama is done outside.
Well, even when he returns, it doesn't have to.
So we're not talking about when he returns, but the fact that he goes out now and does the Parah Adama after Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim, we're not talking about what's going to happen when he comes back in, if he's going to need a new one. At least we see that he can do the Avodah of the Parah Adama then with that Kiddush inside. But fine, that's different because the Parah Adama everything.
Would you have, is there any other option? Like, do you do Kiddush
Adam V'Raglayim? Well, you have. Rabbi Yochanan, I'm after the Bachutz. Rabbi Yochanan says he could even do Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim outside the Azara. B'Afilu B'Klifoil, he doesn't need to use a Kli Shoris, he can even use a regular Kli. B'Afilu B'Mekadesh or Feras, he can even use a cheap open-wear mug, which can't possibly be Kli Shoris. The Gemara elsewhere talks about, you have Machlokes of Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi of Yehuda, and the Chachamim, what do the Kli Shoris have to be made out of? The Chacham hold they have to be made out of metal. Rabbi Yosi of Yehuda holds they can be made out of wood or other glass or other materials like that, but he says everybody agrees that Urlinger is possible. The Gemara explains in a few places, in Nachas and in Sukkah, about the Menorah, about other things. The Gemara talks about Ribui Miyuk Ribui, Klal or Prakat Klal. Yeah, the bottom line is everybody agrees that Klei Cheres is possible. But here, Rabbi Yosi is saying, for him to be Mekadesh now before the Parah Adama, it's enough even the Kadesh or Cheres, even the can't possibly be a Klei Cheres. Now, the Gemara says, let's consider. Now, when it comes to the Parah Adama, before the Kohen Gadol does the Parah Adama, and after he does the Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim, we first are Metamehid. The Tznan, as we learn in a Mishnah in Parah, Metamen Hoyu HaKohen Asodov Z'Parah, they would make the Kohen who burns the Parah Adama Tomei, Umat Bilanoise, and then they would make him Tovel. To take away from the minds of the Tzedukim, The tzedukim held, but the paradigma has to be done by somebody who has a head of Shemesh. We Chachamim know, the Chachamim who taught us, that it's not so. The Gemara learned a few dafim earlier that the reason is because it says, V'osaf ish tahar, tahar implies that he was tame before and still even has a degree of tumah, which is a tevulyon. So we learn from that that a tevulyon is kosher not only to gather the ashes of a parah adumah, but also to prepare it in the first place. So they claim that it has to be completely tahar. Yeah. There's a vort on it, and I don't remember where it says. I don't remember the mocker of this vort, but something might have been in a sikha, I don't remember. Something along the lines of the tzedukim held that a person, if you want to be poil on somebody else, I mean, the tahar then, you yourself have to be completely tahar first. With a chamba telling them, no, it could even be you're still working on yourself, but you still have a, yeah, but anyway. The point is, therefore, so therefore what they would do is he would do this kiddush adayim raglayim, then they would be matama him, and then he would toivel. So that way he's a tevulyon. Now, there is a machlokas rishonim how exactly they would be matame. There is, the Mishnah over there says that they would lean their hands on the Kohen Gadol's head, and then they would. There's a machlokas rishonim when we say that they would be matame the Kohen Gadol before he does the parah adumah, the machlokas rishonim what exactly, in what way would they be matame him? A number of rishonim learn that it means that they would be now the Mishnah says over there in parah that they would lean their hands on his head and then they would and they would tell him go toivel. So the Rash over there explains, the Bar Tanura over there explains that what it is since midrabanan anybody is considered tomei relative to chatas. We know you have the different degrees, you have the different milas in kedusha, and then tara, and therefore everybody is considered the big dayim tmei and midras relative to the paradoma. So they have not toivled and prepared themselves for the paradoma. So by touching him, then they make him tomei midrabanan, and then therefore he goes and toivels. Mm-hmm. In fact, Tosfos earlier, when the Gemara had discussed earlier the point that he's a Tevulyon, a few blocks earlier, Tosfos explained, we're not going to be mezalzel and put out Duma Abkadekach, we're going to be Tamein with the Tumad Rabbana. The problem is with that a couple of the Mephoshim point out, that the problem with it, Tosfos Yom Tov actually points out, the whole point is Lahotzim Ulib and Shotzuki. The Tzukim don't hold this whole concept of Milos of Tahara. So what good is it going to do to touch the guy and then tell him Tovel, and then we're going to say that's Mahotzi Limud Shotzukim. The Tzukim will say, who cares? The guy's not Tomei in the first place. So
for themselves,
so Tosfos Yom Tov says the fact is we see that we're not koshish according to what we hold would be Matamei him. That's still. But nevertheless, anyway, the Rambam Taka holds.
Would it be kosher even as someone that's Tomei the right?
So according to so that's the point. So also Chitara means that he can be a Tevulyon. So he can be a Tevulyon. So Tosfos is saying we're not going to be mezalzel after the kachim and tamim and tumadaraisa. Not that we can't, but it wouldn't be right. On the other hand, the Rambam attacks the holds. They're tamim literally with sherets. They literally take a dead sheret and touch it, and he becomes tumadaraisa, and then he tumuls. Anyway, so the point is, in other words, so we see that he doesn't need to do kiddush adayim raglayim again. So according to the Chiyah by Yosef, he does Kiddush Adayim Raglayim Bifnim. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he can do it even on Haramut, even if he can do it even on Harazesim. But the Keren Ora explains even according to Rabbi Yochanan, it would be better to do the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim Bifnim. If they didn't, then he can do it out on Harazesim.
So what's the Raya?
The Raya is therefore we see that the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is not ruined by him coming Tomei. So there you go then, that even if he comes Tomei, he doesn't have to be Kiddush Adayim Raglayim again. So,
they're being Metame after he did the Kiddush Adayim.
That's the point. So according to the Priya by Yosef, there's no choice. We have to, because he has to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim inside. But Keren Ora explains, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, that he could do it on Harazesim, they would try to have him do it in the Azara if possible. If for whatever reason he didn't, he forgot to, before he left the Azara, we're not going to make him schlep back there, we'll just have him do it on Harazesim.
So the chronological order is that first he does the...
First the Kiddush, then the Truma, and then the Trovelling, yeah? So Shemam, you know, like possible, Machsheves Tumah. So you see from that that you see from Machsheves and Privacies and belong. The point is that Tumah doesn't pass over Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. But the answer is shiny Parah. How is the Tevulyon like possible? No, because the answer is by the Parah Adumah, Tevulyon doesn't pass on it. So they and unlike every other Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, so therefore, so you can also say that we're Makel and we're saying the Kiddush is not going to become possible. That doesn't show as far as other Avodahs where Tevulyon can't do that. So the Gemara says, "You're talking about the Mekadesh." Then in that case, why is he doing Kiddush Adayim Ragline in the first place? It's okay, Avoda Be'inan, even though it's not an actual, it's not an actual Avoda, we still want to do it like the Avoda. We still want to have as much as possible it should be done like the Avoda. Therefore, we want to Kiddush Adayim Ragline before. It's true, it's not swiftly necessary. Okay. Iboilu. Here's another question. Ma'ul Kaddish Yod V'ragla B'Bakir. Can he do the Kiddush Adayim Ragliyim by sticking his hands and feet into the kiyor? Now, like this, you have the spouts on the kiyor. They would open up the spouts, and the water would pour out. Yeshayim, that maybe they would fill up keli from those, and then be the kaddish. Whatever the case, the point is they didn't go into the kiyor. You have the davening. You have the spouts over there, right? So either it's that they would open up the spouts and directly the water would pour onto their hands and feet, or yeshayim, that's fine. The yeshayim that they would. That they would fill up a cavity from it, and then he'd bring the Shonim who seemed to hold that they would take.
They put their
hands and feet inside the kiyor, right? The question is, Minenu Omer Rachmana, is it the Torah says they have to do Kiddush Adayim Raglan from it, the Loi B'Socha, and find Dafka not inside it? Or Yomath, or B'Socha, or maybe Minenu, is Lav Dafka, and it can mean they can even do it inside the thing. So, Omer Rav Nachman, it's Toshma, let's prove. We learned before, in a braisa on Chacham Beis, we said that if he hadn't done Kiddush Adayim Ragliyim, he needs to dafka do it. He has to do it dafka with a tzvi shoris inside the azara. We said the parah aduma is the exception. The parah aduma is not really an avoda, but for actual avoda, he needs to do it in the azara. And the braisa had said oisha tovel b'mei ma'ara, that if among other things he had tovelled in a cave, so even he had tovelled in an actual mikvah, of course, in those times we usually located in caves. The Ovad, if he does the Avodah, Avodah Sipsula, the Avodah is still possible because he hasn't done Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. He Tovel, doesn't matter. The Torah insists he has to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim in the Azorah. Now, so we're saying, why is it possible? Because it was in the Bimei Mora and it was outside the Azorah. And it wasn't from a Kli Shoris. Ha Mekir Dumya Bimei Mora. But the implication seems to be that if he used the Kir like he would use a cave, namely to go inside and Tovel his hands and feet inside, it's all fine and goes Davo, Davo Dosekhera. It sounds like the Avodah would be kosher. So then in that case, there's your answer. So the answer is Lav Dafka. The answer is Loi. Mei Ma'ora, it's Trifalei. No, the Braisa had to mention Mei Ma'ora as a Chiddush. In other words, why didn't the Braisa distinguish and say, if he tovled in Mei Ma'ora, that's possible. But if he dipped his hands and feet in the kier, then it would be fine. Or Fakir, the very fact that I have to mention Mei Ma'ora shows that if he tovels his hands and feet in the kier, it's fine. So the answer is no. The reason why the Braisa had to focus on Mei Ma'ora, it's Trifalei needed Shaloi Tomar. You're not going to think to make a Kavach Chomer. Whole gufo tovel behen, he tovels his entire body in it, then it should, and then yodav raglav, like Kol Shekhen, how much more so? He's also, by toveling his whole body, he's also toveled his hands and feet. So the Braisa is saying that, in other words, even though a mei ma'ara is a good mikveh, it's a perfectly kosher mikveh for toveling his whole body, and yet the Braisa needs to tell us that it's no good. So therefore, no, you can't prune from that at the kiyor as a keli. You certainly can't tovel your whole body in the kiyor and be yotzei tefillah because the keli, you can't tovel inside a keli.
What's mei ma'ara other than
mariyah? Mei ma'ara means, it just means that was in those times it was very common. In those times it was very common. You had, they didn't have the kavos like we did nowadays, like we do.
The Mishnah is avul.
Yeah, you have Nachachina Sonama or Samoya, Mora, and other examples like that. The point is, it was Mayim Bechunosin, it was still water in a place, and therefore it was suitable for a mikvah. But even so, the Braisa is telling us that it's still possible, he still needs Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So therefore, the Braisa doesn't even bother mentioning
it. Mayim is a mikvah. It's a mikvah. It's not like a Mayim that.
No. If it was a Mayim, then it would be Matai Bezochlin. He was Matai only Bashvod, and only if the water was all in one place, yeah. You have, by the way, among the Xeris Yud Chasidover, among the 18 Xeris that they made, is that if a person has Shlosh Lugan Mayim Shorvim fall on him, then he becomes Tomei, or he Bor Rosh Rugan Mayim Shorvim. And the reason is because the Gemara explains, people used to toy bottom caves, and the water over there was stagnant and filthy, and afterwards they would go and take a shower to get their dirt off, and after a while people started thinking, the shower is what is Matahari, you, not the
Mitzvah.
Anyway, the point is, the Gemara is saying the reason why the Braisa has to highlight that if he dips the Mei Ma'ara, it still doesn't work, is because you should think otherwise. You would think that Kal v'chomer, it's good for a mikra. Why shouldn't it be good for kiddush adayim v'raglayim? But maybe tachter. In fact, when it comes to the kiyur, if he puts his hands and feet inside the kiyur, you don't have either. It's not tefillah because mein shulchan, it's inside a keli. It's not his whole body anyway, so it's not a kiddush. So therefore, no good. So the Gemara has left the question open. So the Rambam paskens, as usual with sveikas and these things, that you shouldn't do it. The kohen shouldn't do kiddush adayim v'raglayim the right way, using the spigots, using the faucets. But if he goes into the kiyur and dips his hands and feet, then b'diavad avodas tshera, because you can't say that otherwise people are going to be bringing chulin la'azara. If you're going to say that the avodah is possible, means that you're going to have to bring another korban, and then there's going to be having the problem of chulin la'azara. So therefore, so you say paskens lechola. An interesting question that comes up among the poskim is in a similar way when it comes to washing your hands for bread. What about if you wash your hands for bread? So if you toivel your hands in something that would be a kosher and mikveh, there's no question of it. But if you toivel your hands in a keli, based on what we're saying over here, could it work or could it not? We could say maybe there's a kosher dafka by the kiyur, that it has to be that they menu and not the seichai. Or we could say that, therefore, by Natilus Yadayim, it wouldn't be a problem, or maybe Fakir, since the Gemara is leaving the question open over here, maybe it would be a question by Natilus Yadayim as well. The Gemara continues, getting back to this matter of Lina, Omer Abchir bar Yosef, make Kiyo Nifsolim, the water of the Kiyo will become possible with Lina, and the rule is going to be as follows. Depends what avoda you plan to be doing after the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. Look up Tirin. If you're going to be doing the avoda of Matirin, things that make a korban kosher and mutter to eat, the sprinkling the blood, bruning the koimets on the mizbeach, etc., those kinds of things. So those have to be done by day, and those you can't do after shir. So then, kamatirin, then the rule is going to be the kiddush.
What's again matirin?
Matirin means for things that make that now a korban is kosher and mutter to eat. You sprinkle the blood, for example, now, that's it, the korban is kosher. You can't eat from the korban yet, but you're still brewing the emurim on the mizbeach. Fine, at least it's mutter now to take the emurim and put them on the mizbeach. You can't do that till the blood is sprinkled. When it comes to a mincha, brewing the koimets on the mizbeach, that's it. Look, the last thing has been done, and now the koinim can eat the mincha. Those kinds of avoidas cannot be done after shkia. Therefore, the Priya Bar Yosef is saying the rule as far as the water becoming fossil depends on those. He's doing Kiddush Adayim Raglayim in order to do the avodah of a matir, which is going to become possible by Shia, then the same way over here. So now the water of the kir, the water of the kir itself is also going to be possible, is also going to become possible by Shia. They have to, we talked about, you have the muk.
It's not even lina, it's becoming possible.
Right. So if here, right. So what we're saying is, in other words, that if the water in the kiyur will become possible by shkia. So in other words, like this. So the point is, in other words, like this. We talk about mukhni. We have the pulley according to Moshe Rishonim, or according to the Rambam. It's a tank. So you have like this. The Gemara had mentioned, and I think Gemara had mentioned on Daf Kaf from an Aleph, the mukhni. The Mishnah tells us in Yuma that one of the points is that Ben Kotin set up a mukhni for the key. So that way the work doesn't become possible by living. The mukhni is, according to Moshe Rishonim, is a pulley. They had a pulley system where they would, every night they would lower the kiyur down into a pit in the ground, and then the water in the kiyur mixes with the underground water, and that way it doesn't become possible to live. According to the Rambam, the mukhni is more like a big tank that surrounded the kiyur from which they would refill the kiyur. They could drain the water from the kiyur into it overnight, and then they would refill it the next morning. This mukhni is not
it doesn't become
the mukhni. So according to the Rambam, according to Rashi and everybody else, the mukhni is a pulley. There's no water in it in the first place, so there's nothing for the water to become possible. The water
mixes
what's underground, and now it mixes with the mei tahorim. According to the Rambam, the vort is that the mukhni is not a clean shoros. It's a separate tank that was built over there in the Azara to hold it as a reservoir for the water. So anyway, now what we're saying is, if you're supposed to lower down the kiyur into the, you're supposed to do whatever you do with the kiyur, with the mukhni, before shkiyin. We're saying if you didn't do that, then the water is going to become possible. It's going to become possible by shkia because it's going to be just like the things that you were going to be mekadesh in order to do. So the point is, in other words, that you can't say, well, Well, the water is going to become possible only by Elosa Shachar. So therefore, we have all night. We can leave it out all night, and we can use it to be Mekadosh for nighttime Avodis. And then we can lower it before Elosa Shachar. No, you have to lower it before Shkia.
Why?
Because that's what we're saying. Because the Maturin Kamaturin. He's saying the story is for Avodis of Maturin. That has to be done by day.
You always do any Avodis of Maturin after Shkia.
Ah, so that's the point. But you have Hector Chalom Ve'evorim as well. The point is that's exactly the point. So if you were going to, if the water became possible only by Elosa Shachai, you would be able to do it. What you could do is you could lower it into the Mukhni. You could lower it using the Mukhni before Elosa Shachai. Bring it up after Elosa Shachai, and then you'd be
good. The next day,
be
able to use it.
So now,
for material,
if you want to use it the next day for material, right. But if you want to use it overnight, but then if a lot of then you can leave it out overnight, and then the water will become possible only by a loisa shama. That's your chiyah by Yisro. Rav Chista says no. After maturin, in if someone al ba'al mora shafa keivonim. No, even as far as the blood and the kumets, things like that, it won't become possible. But it won't become possible by shkia. It'll become possible only by a loisa shachar, just like the evodim. So Rabbi Yochanan says a third opinion. Rabbi Yochanan says once you lower down the tier into the pit before shkia, shuv ein ma'aleu, then you cannot bring it up again in the middle of the night. You have to wait till alois hashachar to bring it back up. So it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan is saying that if you bring it up at night, then it will be possible even for Evorim. So it sounds like there's three opinions. Rabbi Chiya by Yosef is saying that the water will be kosher by night for Evorim, for building Evorim or Pudorim. Rabbi Yochanan is saying that it will be kosher even if that will be kosher for the next day's Avodah, as long as you put it down, as long as it was in the pit by Alos HaShachar. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Rabbi Yochanan seems to be saying that no, if you didn't put it down before Shkia, it's going to be possible for the night time.
So according to him,
you would have to do Kiddushin Dab Redline before they lower it. And then after that, then use any Kiddushin you're doing.
All those working at night have to do Kiddushin Dab Redline for the Shkia.
Yeah. So that's the one I asked. The memory of the labor is Isla Namelech. See, you're telling me that you can't even do that, that the water will be possible by Shia even for the Avodah by night. Why? Well, I'm going to ask the Omer of Yechon and Meshmeh de Ilfa. We learned in the Gemara and Dafkof that Rabbi Yechon had said in the name of Ilfa, Kiyo Shalash Shikha Bibarev, if you didn't put the kiyah down into the pit the evening before shkia, the kaddish menu avodas laila, you could be mekaddish from it as long while it's still above ground for the avoda of the nighttime. Well, the macha ain't a mekaddish. Only the next day you can't because it becomes possible by a loisa shachar.
So
that seems more like Tosfos, by the way, brings up the point. You have, for example, you have many Mishnayos in Masechta Tomid that say, for example, that the Kohenim would do Kiddush Adam Raglan for Trumas Hadeshin. The Gemara had brought before that the Kohen Kiddush Adam Raglan for Trumas Hadeshin, and all the other Kohenim would come running after he finished Trumas Hadeshin, and they would come running and do Kiddush Adam Raglan to get ready in order to the next thing they have to do is rake up all the ashes that are scattered all over the Mizbeach. If there's a lot of them, they have to put them in a pot and take that big pot and carry it outside the Yerushalayim that did the Beis Hadeshen. If there's not that much, then they peep it up on the Tapuah. And for all of that, they did Kiddush Adam Raglayim. So how does that work then, if we're going to say that you have to have the kiyur in the pit overnight, according to Rabbi Yochanan? So first, Tosfos says that you could say that all those Mishnayos are like Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. Because the Gemara had established earlier, since according to Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, since the Lina is not postal by him, by Kiddush Adam Raglayim, according to him, you could go from one day to the next, not having to do Kiddush Adam Raglayim again, so therefore the water in the kiyur itself, according to that way of looking at it, doesn't become postal. Then Tosfos said, new according to Rebbe, how would they do? Trumas Hadeshin. So Tosfos says if you had Kohenim that were up all night, so now they don't, and they weren't Masiach Das, then they could be doing it. Another possibility.
Let's say
that would be one answer in Tosfos. Another possibility is before they sank the kiyur down into with the Mukhni, they would fill up. So they would fill up a keli with water from it, and then they would be able to use that keli early in the morning. Which, by the way, then Mefoshim points out. So how does that help us anything? If the water of the kiyur becomes possible, you know, so with the water in that keli, what's how any better? There's a few answers, one of them being that maybe this whole train that becomes possible overnight is only if the Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon didn't extend the Gzeila to the Peli, because we want to make it possible for them to do Kiddush Adam Raglan.
How would they do Kiddush Adam Raglan from this Peli? Is it a Kier?
As long as it's a Kli Shoresh, then it's fine. We find, for example, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, they would have him do Kiddush Adam Raglan, and
so
the Kippur
shows up.
Doesn't have to be designated Kier. It's supposed to be a Kli Shoresh, yeah.
And that's
not enough for before Purim. Yeah. Yeah. That's what we learned before. I was going to mention it again on Omid Beis. Yeah. Remind me, by the way, there's a sicha in that connection we were talking about that we were learning the full Purim from. There's why is Moshe being included in there? If yeah. So remind me when we get to Omid Beis. I'll talk about it. Yes. Okay. So fine. So you're saying that you're saying that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that if you didn't put it in the pit the night before, the Makadosh Mena Lavoda slightly, you could use it for Kiddush Adam Raglan for the nighttime Avoda, or the Mocha in a Makadosh, and then just the next day you can't use it because it became possible Udiyu actually, by the way, and Udiyu, when the Gemara had first brought this statement on Daf Chof, it said, does it mean Lamocha ain't a Makadish means that he doesn't have to be Makadish, and then Rabbi Yochanan is going according to the laws of Rabbi Shimon, who says you don't need to be Makadish from one day to the next? Or did we mean that you can't be Makadish because the water becomes possible? Here the Gemara is assuming that it means that the water actually became possible. So what are you telling me that the water was not kosher even for the avoda of night? We see clearly that he's saying the kaddish menel avoda slayla. So the answer is my enemal leunami dekama. Rav Yochanan means when he says you can't bring it up overnight. Once you put it down before Shia, and that way you're preventing the water from becoming fossil, Rav Yochanan is saying you can't bring it up during the night. That would mean, though, you can't bring it up anymore for the avoda of the day, because then it will become possible by Shia. But it will still be suitable for the avoda of the night, and therefore that's more like what Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef is saying.
But it's not from the law of the previous
Masalki. Shuv means you can't be Malayu again for the day avoda, because then you're going to end
up. Let's say Shoku, like a half hour before Shkia. Don't bring it back up.
But that's what it means. In other words, that's what Gemara is.
But you could bring it back up.
Put it down before Shkia.
That's not. But the lush is mashma.
If you bring it up, it doesn't mean it's automatically going to become fossil. It means if you have it up, then it comes Shkia, then it's going to become fossil. But for Avodah Dislaila, it will be fine, then it will become possible only by a lesson.
The Rambam explained the shuffle that smashes up the
meat. So the Rambam would understand that it means, in other words, shiko, you mean like to drain the water out into the bukhni and then refill it from the bukhni afterwards, yeah. Okay. The question is, if you handle the Rabbi by Yosef. Well, in that case, then Rabbi Yochanan is saying exactly the same thing as Rabbi by Yosef. Why did we present what he says as a third opinion? The answer is, ikvenai gzeras shikua. The argument between them would be whether about the gzera of do we have to be meshakei? Rabbi Yochanan would hold. We were saying that Rabbi Yochanan said that you can't bring it up again. Ein ma'alei, and we were thinking because it means it'll become possible at night. It's not. It's only a gzera that gzera shikua because he might not go and put it back down, and then it's going to be up, and then all this shacha is going to pass over for tomorrow's avodah. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan would say, as long as you put it down into the bird before alos shacha, then you're fine. We make a gzera that you should do it before shkia, so that you don't come to leave it out. So you don't come to leave it out on alos. So that's why Rashi says, that's why Rabbi Yochanan didn't say also. He just said, "Ein ma'alehu, don't bring it back up again because you don't want to cause the water to become possible. You have, after all, Rashi explains, it was in a Kli Shoresh. You want to keep that water. It's a mitzvah to not allow something that became in a Kli, that was in a Kli Shoresh to become possible unnecessarily. So don't bring it up because you might accidentally leave it. So in a way like that, yeah. So just bringing it up, if he brought it up and left it out before Shkia, it wouldn't actually be possible. It's just a gzeira that you should. According to the Priya Ba'a Yosef, there's no issue of gzeira shikua. Rather, he says, if you bring it up before Shkia, and it's out at Shkia time, it's going to be possible for avodas mater, which is why he used the lashon nifsol.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's no mitzvah.
There's no mitzvah. There's no gzeira to simply put it down. But there is rather that Rabbi Akiva Yosef says minat Torah it will become possible by night. So it's not a matter of gzeira. It's a matter of if you leave it out before Shkia, it will actually be possible for material. The only thing it'll be okay for is for Evorah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the point of Rashi? Tosfos has a long explanation over here and has a long discussion over here of other ways of explaining the Gemara. My enema aleu de karma, you would say that the enema aleu means that if you bring it up for Avodas Halayla, people are going to think that you're putting it before Shkia, so it doesn't become possible for Matirin, and you're putting it again before Alos HaShachar, so it doesn't become possible for Evorim. Then the result is people are going to end up using it for Matirin, even though it was only there during Shkia, and it was even though it was only there at Shkia and at Alos HaShachar. So the Tosfos understands. So this explanation of Tosfos says Zedas Shikua is the Zedas Shikua, according to Tosfos, is that it has to be all night until Trumas Hadeshen, so that people should realize that it wasn't in, that the people should realize the only reason it was put down before in the pit before Shkia was to remember that it should be there all night.
Is it the timeline that passes this? In other words, the line the second it becomes Shkia or Alos HaShachar, those. When the clock turns, that's when it gets possible. Or you could have Mishakeo before Shkia. And then Ma'aleu, a half hour after Tiskechovim for Avodas Halayla.
So that's the thing. Tosfos is saying, the problem is, if you bring it up for the Avodas Halayla,
people will say. So you're allowed to do it.
You would be allowed to do it.
And you would be using it for the next day for Matirin also?
No, you'd be able to use it only, that's what we're saying. You'd be able
even
to,
though, even no, if, but it's like by the timeline of the Shkia, It was Shakua.
It was Shakua. But
and
now,
then you brought it back
but
up
then
again
you bring it back
to Salila, then you're taking it back down for the Lina, for Alisa.
Right. So that's the point. So Tosfos seems to be saying that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the only problem with that is Xayra Midrabanan. People are not going to realize what the timeline is supposed to be when you put it down and when you bring it back.
So it's the timeline that's making it possible.
Yes. Right. So it could be now Xayra Shikua, then Tosfos explains that Rabbi Yochanan would say you do have to keep it there all night because you have to put it before Shkia so that people don't think that you only need to do it so that people will remember to do it at the end of the night and therefore it has to stay there overnight. According to Rabbi Yosef, doesn't care about that. So the Gemara says, "Well, Amar Rabbi Yochanan." But wait a minute! Didn't Rabbi Yochanan say Kiddush Yodav L'Trumas Hadeshen? Rabbi Yochanan had said that if he did Kiddush Adayim Raglayim for Trumas Hadeshen, Mamocha in Sarach Lakadosh, then the next day when it's daybreak, he doesn't have to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim again. Shkra Kiddush Metchilas Avodah, because he already did Kiddush Adayim Raglayim for the beginning of the Avodah, because Trumas Hadeshen is the first Avodah.
How does he have water?
That's
the question. Is how does
but
he have water?
That's the question. In other words, So Rashi explains. So you see, first of all, you see that once he brought it up for Trumas Hadeshen, you don't have to put it down again before Alos HaShachar. It doesn't become possible by Alos HaShachar. And Rashi furthermore says, it's one thing that he should be allowed to bring it up. Listen, I mean, otherwise the fellow who got to do Trumas Hadeshen, how else is he supposed to do it? You can't worry about Zedus Shikua over there because he did already find it lowered and now now you're going to say when it's almost the time that it's going to become possible, then for sure he'll put it back down again because he's not going to be pushaya, he's not going to allow the water to become possible. It's one thing Rashi says if they had left it out all night, then they might be pushaya, they might forget to put it down before Alos HaShachar. The question though is that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Rabbi Yochanan is just saying in sort of Lakadis, it doesn't say anything about being required to be Meshakeh. Why not? According to Rabbi Yochanan, he does have to make sure to be Meshakeh after he uses it for Trumas Hadeshen. Because otherwise it will be out by Alos HaShachar and it will become possible. So Bishlena Lidrava. Now, the Gemara had earlier brought a Machorkas, a Bayan Rava, about what Rabbi Yochanan had said. This statement of Rabbi Yochanan, that this statement of Rabbi Yochanan, that that if he was Makadish for Truma Sadeshin, he doesn't Lamocha in Sarach Makadish, was that. So we said there's two ways of understanding what he said. So Bishlan Rabbi Rava Demukin Lahi could have a laws of Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Rava had understood that Rabbi Yochanan's statement is a claim to the laws of Rabbi Shimon, who says the foul that the Kibshad and Raglan doesn't become possible by a laws of Shachar. Well, then you can say for Kibren. Well, then this other statement of Rabbi Yochanan about Kiyosh Shikar Shulvein Malay would be appointed Rebbe. That appointed Rebbe, the water is going to become possible, and the Kiddush Adam Raglayim is going to become possible by Alois HaShachar. But Rebbe will say that fine. So we'll say, so therefore, so you have Gzeiras Shikua, appointed Rebbe, then you do have to lower down the Kiyah and make sure that it's there by Alois HaShachar, because otherwise it'll become possible by Lena. So we have two statements of Rabbi Yochanan, one appointed of Elazar Reb Shimon, saying that if he was Mekadosh for Trumas Hadeshin, he doesn't need to be Mekadosh again for the daytime Avodah, and another one appointed Rebbe saying, but make sure that the Kiyah is down in the pit. Elal Abaya, the Mukim Laker Rebbe, but appointed Rebbe, who's an appointed Abaya, who understands Rabbi Yochanan's statement about when he said when he says that that when Rabbi Yochanan is saying that when Rabbi Yochanan is saying that if he was Mekadosh for Trumas Hadeshin, he doesn't need to be Mekadosh again for the morning, and he said even appointed Rebbe, because even though since he had already been Mekadosh Adam Raglayim shortly before Alos Hashachar, even Rebbe is going to agree we're not going to passel his Kiddush Adam Raglayim then. Well then, so then Kasha the Rebbe had the Rebbe. Well then we have a contradiction within what Rebbe is saying. Why are you telling me here that we need to put it back down into the pit? And Zedas Shikua and all that.
Kasha the Rebbe or the Yochanan or Rebbe?
Well, it's a question on Rebbe Yochanan, who's saying according to Rebbe.
He's not saying Zedas Shikua.
No, but we're saying Rebbe Yochanan's statement is according to Rebbe.
So,
and Rashi points out, it's one thing, Rebbe can say, for example, that the short amount of time from Kreis HaGever until Alois HaShachar is not going to pass away. So fine, you can say because at least with the hands, you don't have the actual water on them now. The only thing we would say that Lina would pass away is, we would say maybe is Xerod Zerabonim, because Hesach Hadas or whatever. But here you have the actual water over there. So you have something for Lina to be chal on. With the hands, there's nothing for Lina to be chal on because they're already dry. But Rebbe would have to say, or Gemara had established in the earlier sugya, that according to Rebbe, the water will become possible by Lina. So then, why are we saying on the one hand he has to put it back down into the pit? Well, my shnahochad lema shakele. Why is it when it comes to Trumas Hadeshin, he's not mentioning anything about having to put it back down? We're not worried about the water becoming possible by Elisha Shachar. So the answer is the Masalitlay. As a matter of fact, yeah, that's what he does. He brings it back up from the pit and uses it for Trumas Hadeshin. And then he puts it back down over there. So he doesn't mention it to the Kiyah because Rebbe is not dealing over here, and Rebbe Yochanan is not dealing over here with the halachas of making sure the water is not becoming possible. He's dealing with the halachas of Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. But it's true, part of the procedure would have to be to bring it back up to do the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim and then put it back down again. So they want to ask, if Hoki, the Mocha Enim Kaddish, then why is Rebbe Yochanan using the expression that the next day he's not Mekadosh, which was saying that on the face of it, any Mekadosh means that he can't be Mekadosh with it because it's possible. Am I? Why not? We just said that he puts it back down and it doesn't become possible. And we said anyway, according to Rebbe Yochanan, all there is Beda Shikua, all there is an Isur Dirabbanan to keep it out.
No, the Mocher Enim Mekadosh.
The Mocher Enim Mekadosh. Does that mean Enim Mekadosh? The Gemara at the
same time. Oh, this is Rebbe Yochanan.
Yeah. So why? The Gemara is assuming Mocha Enim Mekadosh means you can't be Mekadosh from this water because it's possible. Well, why not? If you had it in the pit overnight, so what's the problem? And the answer is Ein Tzorach Mekadosh. It doesn't mean that you can't be Mekadosh with it. Ein Mekadosh means it doesn't need to be Mekadosh. That part of what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon that the original Kiddush doesn't become possible. So the answer is that when he says Einim Kaddish, when Rabbi Yochanan used the expression, and I'm an Aleph, Rab Asi, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Meshmei de Ilfa, Kiyur Shalei Shikai Mebe'erev, he didn't put it in the pit the evening before, Mekaddish Menel Avodas Laila, or Lamacha Einim Kaddish, he didn't mean Lamacha Einim Kaddish, you can't be Mekaddish because the water is possible. He means Lamacha Einim Kaddish, you don't need to because according to the laws of Rabbi Shimon, the water doesn't become possible in the first place. As a point to him, there's all of this discussion that we're having over at Lina Shakea, and all of that is all strictly a point to get.
So
this was really going like Rav Elazar Reb Shimon. Yeah. That's the one I discussed earlier.
Yeah, but where does it say to
the one I had earlier discussed on that part.
No, where do you speak of these words?
So that's the, you have the words in the part. Means ain't sorech lekaddish, and Rashi teaches out that means that it's a that means that in other words like the it's like Rav Elazar Reb Shimon. So ain't sorech lekaddish, comma Rashi means the ain't linam.
So we have two
Rebbe's
and
one
according
to Rav Elazar Reb Shimon. Okay. So the Gemara says okay. So fine. So, but remember the machshirin mechsafazi. But you're telling me, according to Rabbi Yechanan, that the water doesn't become possible by night, and he could still use it for avoda, and he could still use it the next day for avoda. So machshirin that it didn't that in that case, hainu de Rav Chista, then that would be the same as Rav Chista's opinion. And again, we had then so why we had three opinions: we had Rav Chia by Yosef, we had Rav Chista, and we had Rabbi Yechanan. So now, if you're telling me that Rabbi Yechanan is saying that that the water does not become possible. Then saying ein sorech lekaddish means because you don't need the water didn't become possible and you don't need the kaddish. Now that we're saying Rabbi Yochanan is saying that ein ma'aleu is only because it's going to become possible only by alois hashacha, but it won't become possible by night. Well, then that's the same thing as Rav Chista is saying. That Rav Chista is saying that shkia the plow doesn't pass through the water, only alois hashacha does, and therefore according to Rabbi Yochanan we're saying it has to be in the verb by alois hashacha, but it doesn't matter where it was by shkia.
But does it say that shkua?
Well, that's the Gemara answers. Mitzvah shikua. Again, the difference would be, is there a mitzvah to put it in the pit overnight? Rav Chista would say you don't need to. It's b'chlal not going to become possible by shkia. The only thing that will pass it is alos hashachar. Very well, then. All you have to do is put it in a few minutes before alos hashachar and then take it right out again. Whereas according to Rabbi Yechanan, as we review, the Gemara is using mitzvah shikua before it's called it gzeiras shikua, but you want to make sure that it's in there in the evening before, so that when it comes to Tirmas HaDeshen, Rashi explains this way, it's also gzeiras shikua. Rashi is explaining, means in other words, we want to make sure the Kohen who comes for Tirmas HaDeshen, we don't want it to get careless and forget to put it back in before alos hashachar, because then it will become possible. If he comes early in the morning for Tirmas HaDeshen, having won the pious for it, and finds that it's not in the burr, he's not going to remember to put it back in afterwards. But if he comes and he finds it in the burr, and he has to schlep it out of there, and then do Kiddush Adayim Ravayim for Tirmas HaDeshen, that will remind him that he has to put it back down in there afterwards, so it stays in there in Alos HaShachar. Whereas Rav Chista is not concerned about that. So Rav Chista says, go ahead and leave it out all night. As long as you put it in the pit before Alos HaShachar, then you're good. So the Gemara says, Macy, then I have a contradiction on Rav Chista. The Mishnah says in Talmud, the Kohenim, the other Kohenim did not see the one who's going to do the Tirmas HaDeshen because he's going around the Mizbeach. The Mishnah says over there that the Mishnah says, now the other Kohenim are in the Beis HaMoikid, Rashi explains, that, and he wasn't taking with him a torch or anything, he's just going by the light of the Ma'arotha on the Mizbeach. So the other Kohenim couldn't clearly see him and know when he's doing the Tirmas HaDeshen, and they couldn't hear his sound. Then they would hear the sound of the wood, of the wooden thing that had been cut and made as the mukhni for the kir. Now they realize he's raising up the kir and he's doing kiddush adayim raglayim. And they would say to themselves, now it's time to do kiddush adayim raglayim. As soon as he finishes his avodah of Tirmas HaDeshen, we're going to run over there and we're going to start waking and we're going to do kiddush adayim raglayim as well. And start raking up the ashes. So my lav de misfalik light. Now, when we say they hear the sound, lachora, that means they hear the sound of him raising the kiyur. Amo meshakeh light, meaning that it was there all night. Whereas according to the chista, there was no need to do that. And the answer is loy de meshakeh light. Oh, they hear the sound that now he's putting it back down after the kiddush adayim raglayim. Again, he does his kiddush adayim raglayim so that he can do the Tirmas HaDeshen. Then he immediately goes and puts it back down into the burr. so that it won't be above ground when it comes all the way to Shachar. So now, when the Kohenim here and they realize he's finished with his Kiddush Adam Raglan. Fine. So it means, in other words, now we're
He's finishing.
So now he's finishing. Yeah. He's finishing, and now it's going to be our turf. But that doesn't mean that it was below ground until that point. So the Shittim Kubetzes brings it in that case. And why is he being Meshakeir again if they're going to need it? They're going to need it right away after him for Kiddush Adam Raglan.
The other Kohenim. This is all before Alisa
Shachar. Yeah.
So not only the guy doing the Truma Sadashim is doing it.
Yeah.
What are they doing? What are they doing?
So they're waiting over there. So they did a pais. The Mishnah in Yuma describes originally they would have a foot race. And then there were a couple of mishaps, a couple of things that went wrong. And they eventually, they ran together. One of them pushed the other one off and broke his leg. Another time was somebody took out a knife and stabbed the other one. So the Gemara explains actually that what happened was the stabbing came first. That's a horrible thing, but the Hamir figure, it's a one-off thing. I mean, how often is that kind of thing going to happen? But then they thought it was another time when it says in the mission over there where one of them pushed the other one off the Kevesh and caused it and he broke his leg. Then they realized, you know what, this is, it's happening more. We got to do something. So then they made a pious, right? Yeah. But in any case, the point is the other Kohenim are waiting over there, and once they hear the Mufni, then we're saying, Higia Ace, now it's time for us to do Kiddush Adam Raglan. Right. So the Gemara is saying,
waiting for him.
Let him finish his. He has to finish his Truma Sadesh
first. That's the first thing in the morning.
Yeah. So now, according to Rav Chista, we're saying that he would be putting it back down into the burr, and that's the noise that they would hear. Right. So the Shittim Kubetzes brings up the point. Well, wait a minute. The other Kohenim are going to be coming and doing Truma Sadesh from it. They're going to be coming and doing Kiddush Adam Raglan from it. Why should he be putting it back down? So he brings up the question. Tosfos explains actually. Tosfos explains that what it means is, in other words, that the Tosfos explains according to the Chista, the answer is as follows. They can hear that, first of all, for the Gemara saying to Meshakala the Gilgala, that it means that when he's lowering the kiyur and raising it, so then when he raises it, then it makes a noise. In other words, the point is, in other words, that even according to the Chista, the point is that first he would lower it, and then he would raise it. That way, in order to make a noise, and that way that will alert the other Kohenim that it's time.
So it's like a signal.
So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The noise that you hear is when he's raising it. So you're not going to have such a noise when he lowers it. That's going to be the Gemara's answer. The answer is the Meshakala the Gilgala. The answer is because he's not just lowering it using a chain or something. He's using a pulley. He's using a pulley to lower it, and that pulley has it's like a wheel with a chain or a rope or whatever wrapped around it, and that makes a noise. It makes like a squeaking noise the point is a rope might not necessarily. A rope wouldn't make a noise, but when you have a pulley, when it's attached to a pulley, and you have the gears of it are creaking and grinding, then you'll hear. Lishnath, we know another lotion is. The Meshakale b'chumarte is also that he lowers it using chumarte, which is another word for a wheel. Kihechi the l'shtamakole, and that way that for the sound will be heard. The lishne, and that way the other kohenim will hear. The leise, and that way they'll all come to do the shidam refinement.
Meshakale b'chumarte.
Chumarte is basically the same thing as galgale. It's they're two different words. In fact, Rashi brings from the Mishnah in Tamid, the noise of this mukhne was so loud they could hear it all the way in Yerichim. So there is an explanation from one of the Rishonim that says when the Gemara mentions a whole bunch of things over there that you could hear in Yerichai, the Gemara mentions they could hear the sound of Kohen Gadol saying on Hashem, on Yom Kippur in Yerichai, and a variety of other things. There's an interesting explanation that it doesn't mean you could hear it on all the way from Yerushalayim to Yerichai. It means Davka Yerichai has a certain degree of Kedusha more next to Yerushalayim. It has in a sense the greatest Kedusha of any city in Eretz Yisrael because it was the first one conquered by the Jewish people when they came into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, the vote would be that, the Eibishter made it specifically that these things that could be heard in Yerushalayim would also be heard at the same time in Yerichai because of its Kedusha. I think Tosfos Yeshonim maybe says that, I don't remember.
Why didn't the Yidden Zachazet in Yerichai Rapede?
They did settle in Yerichai. Unfortunately, the Arabs rioted and threw them out in 1920.
No, but I think throughout all the years.
I don't know.
They sat him down out of
this. And not in the four holy cities. Why didn't they say this? I don't know. It's a good question. Anyway. So that actually Tosfos explains that the difference between Gilgula and Chamauta is that the Tosfos explains Gilgula just means a wheel, like a pulley or something. Chamauta would mean that on the Gilgula itself there was a Chamauta which would make an extra noise. So if one's at that, then that's the second answer in the Gemara. Either way, the point is this way, they would hear a noise and they would come. But in other words, the point of Chista, you're right, it didn't have to be in the burr overnight.
As they would come, they would raise it up again.
They would raise it up again, yeah. So the Gemara asks, how the Gvini Kora is, you have Gvini, the announcer in the Beis Mikdash. He would call out, so we have his voice, and the Gemara says also his voice is very loud. The Gemara says that one time Agrippa Samelach was traveling a few parsa outside of Yerushalayim, and he was able to hear the guy's voice. In fact, the Gemara says he was so impressed that when he came back to his palace in Yerushalayim, he sent this Gvini tremendous presence. He was so impressed that he had such a loud, powerful voice. Anyway, the point is he had him. So why do you need the signal from the keyer, from the galgal? And the answer is, they actually had two. There were two different things they would do to inform everybody. The shama mehai osi, or the shama mehai osi, this way. Some one person might hear one person might hear the other, and this way, no matter what, whether a person hears one or the other, then he'll know to come.
Now, after those kihanim that yigia iskidu shetan braglaim, they were maila again here, and they make Kiddush Adayim Braglaim, and they put it back into the...
So then we're saying it would have to be there by Alois HaShachar either way. So yeah.
By Alois HaShachar, they would have to, it has to be down again.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe that's why Rabbi Yochanan is not... he doesn't need to tell you about putting it back down, because there are people after him. He's not...
Maybe. I mean, the other possibility is maybe by the time he finishes Truma Sedeshin and they come, it may already be Alois HaShachar. So in that case, then whatever the case, they have to time it to make sure that it's there in Alois HaShachar. Okay, actually, the part about the key or Shane where the Kaddish Abba praying about this, let's leave for tomorrow, Bez Hashem.